Welcome, my name is Roberta, a compulsive eater and the leader for this workshop on maintenance. Will you all please join me in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. So welcome, everybody. This is the workshop on maintenance, and let me let you know what we're going to cover here today. So this is a workshop on maintenance. What happens when you come into CHOW and either lose or gain the weight to reach your goal weight? And what we're going to do first is we're going to review what the CHOW literature says about maintenance, and then we're going to have three CHOW members. We only have two so far. The other is getting their big book up in their room. We're going to have three other members share 10 minutes each on different aspects of their experience, and I thought we may as well go ahead and introduce ourselves now, if you want to qualify.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. My name is Beth. I'm a compulsive eater. Hi. Glad to be here. I've been in programs since February 3rd, 2011, with back-to-back abstinence by God's grace since that start date. I came into program, 128 pounds, and now I'm about 120 pounds. I mean, so I had very little weight to lose when I was in program. So I've had the opportunity to be on maintenance after the first 30 days and have had plenty of head weight to lose still. Thank you.
And Suzanne, I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Suzanne.
And I'm very, very grateful to be here today. And I came in January 20th of 2009. I initially lost probably about 95 pounds. I can't say that I'm at that low weight today, but I am maintaining and have been in abstinence since then, and I'm very appreciative to be able to share with you today.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Rowdy. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Rowdy.
So grateful to be here with all of you today and to be abstinent. Thank you for helping save my life. I've been abstinent, gratefully, since January 12th of 09, and I've been allowed to stay abstinent without a slip since then. I've surrendered, been allowed to maintain over 65 pounds, also been allowed to put on weight after losing too much. I'm a recovering anorexic bulimic as well in this program, and I am a full-service sponsor, and grateful to be here with you today. Thank you.
And I'll qualify as well. My name is Roberta. I'm a compulsive eater. My date of abstinence is January 31st, 2007, maintaining a 65-pound weight loss. I sponsor on all levels, not available, but always available for outreach. So what we're going to do for the format for this workshop is we're going to have each of our panelists speak for 10 minutes. And just to let you know, Beth's going to talk on, and these were the topics we thought about. They may change. Our speakers have the rights to change and speak on whatever's on their heart. But Beth's going to speak on sustain and enhance. How do we maintain what we have and continue to grow along spiritual lines? And then we'll have Rowdy speak on what about how great it seems at first to lose the weight when the real miracle is keeping it off, compared to how hard all the work can seem at the beginning when the real miracle is the seven tools becoming a natural part of your life. Losing the weight is nothing but a start. And then Suzanne K may potentially speak on things like a focus on body image, outside response, 12-step living, including search for spiritual component and living the magic. So those are some of the topics we're going to talk about. And how we're going to set it up is I'm going to read what our literature says about maintenance. What does it mean to be on maintenance or a maintenance sponsor? And then we're going to have one of the speakers share, and then there'll be a couple minutes for Q&A, and then we'll have the second speaker share, again, time for Q&A, and then we'll have the last speaker in Q&A. So it's kind of just an interactive throughout. Just a reminder that this workshop is being recorded, and once this workshop is recorded, some of us actually have to edit it and put it on the website. I'm on the website committee for the World Service Organization, so I have had many, many hours of editing workshops where people mention outside issues. So I just mention, again, we're being recorded, so please try to stick to program. You're welcome to share, but we ask people to sign in. There's a sign-up sheet here over on the right, and Beth.
And to clarify, do we need to put our last name or just last initial?
Last initial is fine. So we'll do that. So with all that being said, any questions before we start? No? We'll jump in. So I wanted to start off with a recap of what does our CHEL literature say about maintenance? And this first part is from Sponsor Guidelines, page 5. What is a maintenance sponsor? It says, to qualify as a maintenance sponsor, you must have 90 days of continuous CHEL abstinence, be at goal weight, women within 5 pounds and men within 10 pounds, be a food inventory and step sponsor, have completed the CHEL maintenance questions in the maintenance guidebook, and have gone through the maintenance sponsoring step-up ceremony. Now, from Forever Abstinent, page 22, it says, about maintenance, you, your sponsor, and your healthcare professional will determine when you have reached a healthy weight that you want to maintain as a way of life. At that point, a maintenance sponsor will guide you through this transition and continue to work with you using the CHEL maintenance food plan. And then from Forever Abstinent, page 26, it talks about the maintenance guidelines. And there are, in that book, Forever Abstinent, it references different food plans based on your gender and your height. And you get different amounts of the food depending on what you want. And then page 36 of Forever Abstinent shows you what additional food options you're allowed to have once you're on maintenance, because it's more than just the first 30-day questions. And then Forever Abstinent, page 26, says, regarding the transition to maintenance food plan, to make the transition from weight loss maintenance, weigh yourself one time per week to monitor your weight gains or losses. Maintenance foods are added in 6 phases, with each phase terminating as the body accepts the additional food without a weight gain for a 2-week period. If there is a weight loss after 2 weeks, go to another phase. The phases can be added in any order. If there is weight gain over 3 pounds in a 2-week period, subtract one phase. And then it lists out the different phases of foods you can add in. It also has a note that says, as metabolisms vary, some members may need to make additional changes in food phases. It also says, it is possible that some of the foods on this plan may create the phenomenon of craving in some of us. Thus, it is very important to work closely with your food sponsor to eliminate such foods. When in doubt, leave it out. And then there are guidelines to follow in the event that you do reach maintenance, but you have a slip. And it says, in the event of, if the weight gain is less than 10 pounds, you do something. And if it's more than 10 pounds, you do something else. This next section is taken from our book, Sponsoring and Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How. And this is actually the chapter on maintenance. So it'll be just a minute or two, but it's worth reading. Sponsoring maintenance in CHEL. Our sponsor's guidelines tells us that to qualify as a Compulsive Eaters Anonymous maintenance sponsor, we must have 90 days of continuous CHEL abstinence, reached goal weight, served as a food inventory and step sponsor, completed the maintenance questions, and gone through the maintenance sponsoring step-up ceremony. When we reach this level of sponsoring, we've done a lot of work in the program. Now we have another great opportunity to realize the promises of CHEL by helping other compulsive eaters shift into maintenance. The maintenance food plan transition. Your sponsees will need to purchase a CHEL maintenance food plan to begin the next phase of their journeys. Encourage them to read it thoroughly and to ask you questions about anything they need to help understanding. If they are fearful about changing their food, remind them that they are not alone. Having successfully made the transition from the weight loss food plan to the CHEL maintenance food plan ourselves, we are invaluable resources for sponsees who are going through the same process. The maintenance food plan offers clear guidance on how to transition from the weight loss food plan to maintenance, which we do incrementally over time. We add food selections in weighed and measured portions until our weight stabilizes. While working closely with sponsees on their maintenance food plans, you can also refer them back to their healthcare professionals and share your own experience with the transition phases. The maintenance food plan contains additional food choices, so we need to remind our sponsees that if some of these foods create the phenomenon of craving, they need to work closely with us to eliminate them from their committed food. You can remind them that this principle still holds true in maintenance. When in doubt, leave it out. Your sponsees will need to decide on a goal weight. The Forever Abstinent book reminds us that establishing a healthier goal weight is something that involves our healthcare professional, our sponsors, and without question, our higher powers as well. Be sure you share your own experience with setting and obtaining your goal weight and your feelings about it at the time. It's important to let your sponsees know that they now need to weigh themselves weekly instead of monthly to ensure that their bodies are accepting the transition phases. The weight scale is an important tool that helps us keep track of our recovery. It coincides closely with the food scale and measuring cups that we use at our abstinent meals. If your sponsees slip while in maintenance, once they regain their abstinence, they will return to be a maintenance sponsor in these stages. After 30 days, they can be a food sponsor again. After 60 days, they can be food inventory and step sponsor. And after 90 days, a food inventory step and maintenance sponsor. Again, you can guide them through these stages. Practicing the principles. As our See How concept states, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. In many ways, this is exactly our promise in working the maintenance phase of the program. We redouble our efforts using all the tools and concepts that we've been practicing up until this phase of our recovery. Many compulsive eaters have tried to go it alone once they achieve their maintenance weights. Frequently, those who slip or relapse will report that they neglected to work their spiritual and emotional programs on a daily basis. As is often said by maintainers, the food is the last thing to go. Here is an overview of the basic tools and concepts of See How that you can review with your sponsees to reinforce the idea that we need to continue to work the entire See How program, not just the food plan. Sugar and flour abstinence. This defines our abstinence from addictive substances as written in our literature. It's central to our food plan and is the basis for step one in the program. Weighing and measuring. Our primary tool for combating the compulsion of the disease and compulsive eating. It is our daily opportunity to surrender the food to our higher powers. Meetings. As the literature tells us, we must attend 3 meetings a week, which ensures that we keep ourselves open to service and sharing our experience, hope, and strength. See How concept. This becomes our contract with the program of See How, and it outlines the foundation upon which our program was built. Sponsorship. One compulsive eater helping another compulsive eater is the essential link we share in our program of recovery. Our 12 steps and traditions are worded to reinforce the concept that this is a we program, not an I program. Phone calls. The vital link we share through daily phone calls with our sponsors, sponsees, and other members strengthens us and opens us opportunities to be of service to others in the program. And the 12 steps. We find freedom from the food obsession when we work the 12 steps, which are the foundation of our program. The 12 traditions. Unity in our program is the group expression of our spiritual program of recovery and is strengthened and guided by our 12 traditions. Service. The 12 steps offer us the framework for our individual recovery, which allows us to be of service to others as we give freely of what was given to us. And honesty, open-mindedness, willingness. As the See How concept states, we pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offers us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the See How ideal will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. Be sure to let your sponsees know that in order to realize all the promises of recovery in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How, they need to embrace each of these ideas and make them a part of their daily living. And then it ends with the road to happy destiny. Remind your sponsees that maintenance is not an ending, but it's a new beginning. In order to keep what they have, they still need to work the tools and steps of the See How program. Their investment of time and effort into these endeavors will be well worth it. There is probably no better way to say it than what's said in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 164. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. So that, by the way, again, is taken from our book, Sponsoring in Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How, and that's also available on our website under the category of For Sponsors. There's a chapter there specifically on maintenance. Just so you know as well, some of our See How meetings are actually specifically focused on maintenance if you're interested in attending. For example, Las Vegas has a face-to-face meeting Monday night at 6:30 if you want to go to that. And in Tecate, Mexico, there is a face-to-face meeting on Viernes, which is Friday. Did I say that right? Viernes at 6:30 a.m. And then the phone bridge also has several maintenance meetings where the topic is maintenance. Wednesdays, 8:30 Eastern time in the morning, and Thursday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. Those are maintenance meetings to go to. They're great to listen to people sharing. We also have several audio files that have been recorded over the years. This is not the first workshop we've done at convention where we've talked about maintenance. And so you can listen to previous versions. We had some of the speakers here from last year. There was a 2014 global convention Saturday at 10 a.m. That you can listen to. And then we actually put that on the phone bridge, did a workshop for the phone bridge as well. And then also in the 2013 convention, there was a workshop on transitioning to sponsoring maintenance. So there's lots of information to draw from if you're interested in learning more about maintenance. And of course, the best way is to work with a maintenance sponsor. That's the best way. So with that, that again is what our literature says about maintenance. That's kind of the background. And what we want to do next is move to our speakers. So we're going to start out with Beth, again, talking about sustaining and enhancing. And Beth, I'll time you for 10 minutes.
Will you give me a 5-minute, 1 minute?
I will. Yep.
Thank you. Hi, good morning, everybody. Beth, compulsive eater. Hi, thanks. It's an honor and a privilege to be up here. Briefly, I qualified, and I came into program 2011 with about 5 pounds to lose, if that. So I've been on maintenance since after the first 30 days, and by God's grace, have been back-to-back abstinence for that amount of time, about 4 years. So I started at the end of my notes, because after writing all these notes, the most important piece that I want to share and hope you guys take away is that in order for me to stay on maintenance, I need a spiritual relationship with my higher power. My maintenance is contingent on spiritual growth. I think sometimes people, you know, strive after maintenance and it seems this really, you know, high pedestal, but it is what it is. Some people come in with a lot of weight to lose. Other people have a lot of emotional baggage to lose. And I was definitely one of the emotional baggage to turn over to my higher power. And for me, maintenance is based on taking action. And I use the tools daily as required, steps and traditions, and try to practice these principles in all of my affairs. And for me, I see the tools as a spiritual act of service. And the big book reminds us that faith without works is dead. So I've got to have faith in God and I've got to take action. You know, it's like a rowboat. One oar is faith. The other oar is action. I've got to row both of them to go in a straight line. If I'm just, you know, rowing with faith only, you know, wishing God takes away my obsession, I'm going to go in circles. And then if I just, you know, act, and, you know, think it's all self-control, you know, I'm going the other direction. So using both oars in each hand allows me to continue that spiritual relationship in order to retain my maintenance. So I thought I'd discuss a little bit about how I use each step, since this conference is stepping up and see how is the theme of our conference, and wanted to go through how I use the steps in keeping my maintenance. So step one, you know, I recognize I'm powerless. I'm human. I'm weak. I'm imperfect. You know, when I want to take control, I want to drive my own car. Usually I crash. When I let higher power take the wheel, God leads me in a much better direction than I normally can take myself. Step two, coming to believe. I might not understand how my higher power works, but he has his hand in everything. And, you know, as our literature says, you know, we can be atheists or whatever. We turn on the light and we, you know, expect the light to come on. The electricity is going to come on. So my higher power is the current in my life. And I've got to flip the switch in order to recognize that. And my switch is prayer. I pause. I say a prayer. I write down my gratitudes. I recognize how a power greater than myself is around me and surrounding me. In step three, I make a decision. It's concrete action. I say the third step prayer upon waking. That's an important piece. A lot of times, you know, I don't want to get out of bed. I just want to, you know, do it my way. But when I ask God to start my day with me, I'm having that starting point in my relationship with my higher power each morning. And my job is to surrender control, take action inspired by God, but trust God for the outcome. In step four, I take my inventory and I look at my side of the street. I peel back the layers. When I'm disturbed, I recognize that the problem is 100% with me. I don't really like to swallow that truth. I want to blame my problems on everybody else. But it's better to recognize that truth. I'm the one disturbed, rather than trying to swallow food or eat over it, because other people aren't going to change. An example of that recently in my life, I'm in a dating relationship, and it's so easy for me to take the inventory of my boyfriend or his family members, because I'm afraid of how their choices are going to impact me. I've actually miraculously been in program more years of my life than I've been out of program, and I guess take pride. I mean, I take healthy self-care to stay in healthy relationships and be in situations that are honoring to me. And when I'm involved with this relationship and I see all the pain in that family, I question, do I really want to be involved in this? You know, I am willingly stepping into this dysfunctional situation. I mean, I feel like my relationship with my boyfriend is not dysfunctional, but the family issues are. And, you know, continually, what is my side of the street? And so often I have to say, is it my problem? And, you know, 90% of the time or 99% of the time, it's not my problem. So I've got to, you know, keep my side of the street. And my sponsor reminds me, when I'm afraid or feel like my boundaries are being infringed upon, I have to just trust my higher power. And my higher power is enough. So often,
5 minutes.
Thank you. So often my fears are rooted in not enough, and my higher power is benevolent and provides enough. And that is that leap of faith, that steady daily faith building in my relationship with my higher power. In step five, I've shared with God and others my exact nature of my wrongs. Some inventories are formal when you do the fourth step, other they're kind of informal. In my daily writing, I usually talk about life and relationship issues that come up. So that's kind of a fourth step. And then I share it with my sponsor, taking that fifth step, sharing it out loud. And it does feel good to say it out loud and get it out of myself. And that's, you know, the beauty of a sponsor-sponsee relationship. And my sponsor usually reflects and by giving me program insight, you know, she never gives me advice. Sometimes I want her to give me advice and, you know, she doesn't. She tends to quote the big book. And sometimes, you know, I want the solution, but it takes a relationship, again, with my God and higher power to be able to identify what action I need to take. And when I share this fifth step, I get freedom. I mean, that is a promise. That is a result of being able to share what's going on. In step six, I became willing to have my defects removed, and that's where the inventory helped me peel back my layers. I'm really getting to the base of that iceberg, see my core defects. And, you know, I do consider myself having a pretty strong relationship with my higher power, but when I doubt and when I fear whatever X, Y, or Z, like my family's boyfriend stealing things or consequences of me being tardy to work or meetings, or committing to a lifelong relationship, like all these fears stem up, you know, that's doubt. And, you know, I need to continue to be aware of that doubt and continue to trust my incredibly loving provision, guiding higher power. And by looking at those character defects and asking God to remove them, I'm able to continue that spiritual relationship and continue my journey on maintenance. In step seven, it's a lot about humility. I've asked humbly to remove my character defects. And that is a step in communication, relationships, and trust. And then I have to act like they're gone. I mean, they're not going to be magically whisked away from me, but I've got to act as if they are, and take those actions to get up 5 minutes early so I'm not late to work. In step 8, I make a list of those I've harmed, become willing to make amends, and that includes, you know, family members, other people, myself, and being open to make those amends and seeing what my responsibility is, again, is one more area that allows me to stay on maintenance. Step 9, making those amends. And usually I don't have a problem, you know, confessing, oh, I did this, and I'm sorry, and I'd like to change my ways. But sometimes I just need to make living amends. It's almost easier for me to wallow in confessional to make myself feel better than it is to just, you know, suck it up and move on and be like, oh, I made a mistake, or I said something silly, or I did an action that I didn't feel comfortable with. It may not be appropriate to go and tell that person I did that. So it's living amends. And what are those core issues that keep provoking me to do that? I mean, that's what I'm looking for, those underlying issues.
1 minute.
Thank you. And so step 10, you know, I've talked about, you know, taking the inventory. That's such a key part. I do a lot of spot check inventory. Step 11 and step 12, I mean, the essence for me of maintenance, because as I've been saying again and again, that continued growth in, you know, step 11, continue to seek God through prayer and meditation. And then step 12, being of service to others. If I have a spiritual program, I'm able to seek God and his love for me and be of service to others and share my story. And ultimately, as I accept the love of my higher power, I can be loving to others. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Beth. So now we're going to open it up just for a couple minutes, for maybe 5 minutes, for any Q&A from the audience, either on what you've heard or other questions you have about maintenance. If anyone would like to share, please come up and sign the release form. Anybody want to share or ask questions?
Okay, so I'm Robin, compulsive eater, anorexic, bulimic, grateful to be in recovery. My question is, I've been on maintenance for like maybe 3 or 4 years, but I don't think I'm doing it right, and I even sponsor maintenance, so I need to get this down. And I was looking at the New Forever Abstinent book back there, so the chart, so if I'm 5'5", I'm supposed to be using the B, and I'm not eating nearly as much as is on that chart, so is that okay if I'm staying at the same weight for all this time? Or do I need to be trying to slowly add to get into that? I don't know. You know, coming here, I see, and I know I try very hard to keep my eyes on my own plate. But, you know, I want more. I want more. And I see other people eating more, and I think, maybe I could, but I just don't know. So if anybody could help me with that.
Sounds good. Let me open it up to our panel. Anybody, any thoughts you guys have?
Yep, go ahead. Please, you want
to take it. My name's Rowdy. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Rowdy.
Good question. You know, I had a woman talk about the way my sponsor requires me to do live calls. So if I have to make calls until someone answers, which can be infuriating some days. I've made up to 15 or 16 calls a day. And she got all up in my grill because we're all supposed to sponsor the same way. And that analogy applies. No, everyone has a different take on the way we interpret. We can't all be perfect. We're not automatons. And the same analogy applies to our bodies and our metabolisms. You know, everybody levels out at certain goal weights, and some people's goal weights are really, like my goal weight is very thin, and other people average out at a sort of an average body goal weight, and there can be comparison about, you know, I'm at goal weight, but you're thinner than I am, and that's where my higher power put me. You know, that wasn't my choice. That's where I leveled out. And then for me, for example, my metabolism freaked out when I started eating healthily after, you know, terrible eating for years and years. And I dropped a ton of weight, and we had to add all this food for me to actually gain weight in abstinence, you know? And so my meal plan, because of my metabolism, is X. And there are other people my height and who are males and who eat much less than I do, or vice versa. And so, you know, that maintenance guide is the best we have come up with to give a good solid example of this is where you should be. But it can't be perfect because our metabolisms are all different, you know? And what I need to maintain goal weight is going to be different perhaps than what you may need to maintain goal weight. But we wanted it to come, you know, obviously the program wanted to come up with some structured guide for us to use. And so that's just been my experience, because I've worked with a lot of people who want less or they want more. It's too much. If they're anorexic, it's too little, and blah, blah, blah. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks. Good. Thank you. I was going to let, I was going to let another person share, or did you want to share? You could, okay. Any other questions? I think we have time for maybe like one other question, if anybody has a question on maintenance. I have a question for the panel, and that is, have you found that your weight has changed? Have you ever had to change what your goal weight is?
Hey, I'm Suzanne, compulsive eater. Hi. Well, when I first was in the program and I was losing the weight and I had this goal in mind and I wanted to reach that, I went way down, you know, and I thought that was fantastic, but the people around me were telling me I looked like a skeleton, you know, and I didn't, of course, because of my, you know, addict compulsive brain, didn't really get that. But as I really looked in the mirror, which I, you know, do on occasion, I did find that maybe that they were right. And then my weight started going up, and it stabilized at what I felt was a good weight for me. But as this was in program now 6.5 years, and now I'm getting to the point where I don't know if my metabolism changed, or maybe I'm just not willing to give up a little bit of what I can have. And I'm finding it's creeping up a little, so I have to make an adjustment to that. And as far as, and then I've been thinking maybe I should be changing my goal weight, because this is where I am stabilizing at the moment. So, you know, I'm kind of struggling with that, but yeah, it's up, it's down.
Thank you very much. We'll go on to the next section now. So now we're going to have Rowdy speak on, so what about how great it seems at first to lose the weight when the real miracle is keeping it off?
Hi, everyone. My name's Rowdy.
Hi, Rowdy.
Are you excited to be here?
Sort
of waking up smiling, granted the gift of a new life, and I'm excited as heck to be here, and to be asked to speak on this panel on maintenance is such a gift. I hate notes. When I share from the podium, I don't use notes, but when asked to speak on a panel, I do make notes. So my topic is losing the weight is nothing but a start. And all of you, whether my assumption, most of you, and my experience for myself is when I came into the program, I wanted to lose weight. I'm an anorexic bulimic, but at the end of my eating, I had put on about 65 pounds more than I weigh right now, and I couldn't get it off by starving myself and purging anymore. My anorexia and bulimia had stopped working. I was overweight and couldn't get it off. And I wanted to lose weight. And they say, come for the vanity, stay for the sanity. And that's a nice platitude, but it's really true for many of us. And I've had people in my abstinence say, well, you know, I've been abstinent a while and I'm still focused on the weight. Now, all I did from the time I was about 6 or 7 years old was feel fat. So all those years of those neurons firing and obsessing about my weight and trying to lose weight do not disappear in a month or in 3 months or for sometimes 6 months or just because you've lost the weight, you know? So losing the weight is a very natural thought. Of course we're going to have that. And some people beat themselves up because they're abstinent and they're on maintenance, but they're still focused on their body and the dysmorphia that we have and whatnot. And so I always remind people, you know, a lifetime of focusing on I want to lose weight does not go away even when we've lost the weight necessarily. You know, I always want more, you know. And so many of us have lost weight before, and we know that, you know, we've lost the weight, but often we put it back on. And my experience is I couldn't keep it off or eat in a healthy way. It was just a seesaw. You know, I often was very underweight, but then I would put some on and then I'd take some back off. And so, you know, a big book on the top of 64, I love to go to our literature. It says, through our, this is talking about the third step. Though our decision was a vital and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once followed by a strenuous effort to face and to be rid of the things in ourselves which had been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom. So we had to get down to causes and conditions. And so what that's talking to me about is a transition. The food is a symptom. The weight is a symptom. You know, losing the weight, that's we've all lost weight. The problem is, why do I eat the way I eat? That's what needs to change. That's what this program gives us. That's why we're not in what some of those other eating programs that are just diets, you know? And our literature also says, the maintenance guide says, it has been created to continue the process of recovery through self-examination and commitment to the CEA How ideals. It reminds us that the maintainer has not yet arrived, but that God will help them get there. So, and then it also says, maintenance is the second gift God, the second gift along God's path. The first gift was abstinence, okay? So the first gift we're given is the freedom, is abstinence, is eating an abstinent food plan. The freedom from the nightmare, the obsession, and the compulsion, which I'll talk about in a moment, you know? The second gift is maintenance. And so for me, the analogy I like to think about is, you know, when I was seeking that first gift of abstinence, I was swimming like mad. You know, I had very little hope, and I was trying to do all these tools you guys were talking about. It seemed so much work, and I was, you know, going, but the weight was coming off, so I finally started getting some hope, but man, it's work.
5 minutes.
It's work, thank you. But when I achieved maintenance, I didn't have to stop swimming, but I started to be able to do this nice butterfly rather than this frantic swimming. And I don't know if that analogy clicks with you, but that is the gift of losing the weight, getting abstinent, working the tools, but then achieving maintenance. And maintenance is just not about weight. It is about the way we think. It is about spirituality. It is about the tools becoming a way of life. The big book says the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And also says faith without works is dead. So once we've achieved abstinence and we move into maintenance, we need to continue, at least in my experience, to do the work. And part of that work in our reading and writing is the seven tools. And I'm very grateful to have a very strict sponsor who has taught me to work the seven tools diligently. And part of those tools are the steps. And that's the last thing I wanted to really, really focus on. The tools are not suggestions. They are requirements in this program. I hear a lot of times, like on meetings, well, I haven't been very good at my phone calls lately. My sponsor doesn't accept that. That it's 3 phone calls a day and your sponsor, period. That's a requirement. The word look up the word requirement, Rowdy. Look up the word requirement. One time I called him and said I didn't have time to do my question, and his reply was, wow, I wish I would have known years ago the work was optional. And I was like, but you know what? I've had a question for him every day ever since then. I've had a question for him every day. And so, am I a critical level compulsive eater? Have I accepted the critical nature of my disease enough to be willing to work the tools in maintenance and continue this way of life in my hope and heart for the rest of my life, you know? And as far as the tools and the steps go, it gives us what's called a spiritual awakening. And I want to read the appendices in the back of the big book. There's 2 very simple definitions of a spiritual awakening the big book gives us. And one of them is a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism. It's quite simple, you know, but recovery from our disease is not quite simple. You know, to have a personality change sufficient to get rid of a lifetime of destructive eating is not simple. That is a miracle beyond description. Remember, most of us are out there dying, not sitting in here having coffee. Okay? It also says he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life. And such a change could hardly have been brought about on his own. And so working the steps becomes a way, not hopefully in maintenance for me, working the tools and the steps has become a way, not an action I do, but a way of thinking. And so when I get to resentment, my brain naturally goes into these, you know, steps that I need to take, and I may need to write those out, but I've worked them long enough that the tools now are a part of the way I think. That is, again, swimming versus stroking, you know?
The 1 minute.
Thank you. The tools becoming and the steps becoming just the way we live, just who we are, rather than an exercise we have to do because we're so sick that we constantly have to be doing work because we're crazy. That can be my thought when I run, because I am still crazy as heck sometimes. Don't get me wrong. And so today I have to ask, it was read, we have to embrace each of these ideas and make it a part of our daily lives. And so losing the weight versus reaching maintenance and this program becoming a way of life to me is the greatest gift. The weight was wonderful at first, but today that's just neat. You know, I love that. But the way of life that I have, a spiritual way of life and tools to deal with things as they come my way, is the big gift, my relationship with a higher power. I cannot take that for granted. I've been gifted, you know, several years of maintenance, and I've been in 12-step recovery for 24 years. And I pray not only please help me stay abstinent, but don't let me take it for granted. I don't ever want to lose sight of how bad it was out there. I don't ever want to lose life. God, you guys have saved my life. This program saved my life. I was convinced and I knew that I was going to die of this disease. And I almost did. So I want to thank you for letting me speak. But most importantly, I want to thank you for saving my life. That's all I have to share.
Thank you, Rowdy. So again, we're open for any questions that you have, either on what you've heard so far or just basic questions. Anybody want to ask? We have about 5 minutes.
Hi, I'm Mary, Compulsive Eater, San Diego.
Hi, Mary.
I've never run into this as a maintenance sponsor, and I'm just wondering if you all have run into it. It's a little bit of an unusual situation, I think.
You hold the mic closer, please.
Oh, thanks. I have a sponsee who has lost a lot of weight but keeps slipping and is really at maintenance weight, but not less than 30 days. So we're having to add food because she's starting to get... It's just enough slipping that it happens like once a week, or can't get, you know, this hasn't worked for more than 30 days. And what do you suggest with regard to the food plan in terms of adding back food? Because that kind of needs to happen. But I was a little reluctant to have her add grains because in our first 30 days, we don't have grains. So I had her add other things, and I know this is kind of a food question. I mean, there's other issues going on, obviously. So that's part one of my question. And part two of my question, I've asked different people this, and I think I just still want to hear some more answers. What is your particular trigger to say, I've helped you as much as I can help you, I think you need to find another sponsor because what I'm doing isn't working. I used to think the answer to that was 3 slips. That was the internal rule I had, and then I heard some other thoughts on it. So those are my 2 questions. Thanks.
Hi, thanks for your question. It does sound like a complicated situation, and it sounds like you're handling it well. I know for the maintenance plan, you know, you add different amounts and different progressions. My personal philosophy, you know, it's important to be at a healthy goal weight, and obviously it's about the food until it's not about the food, and, you know, adding extra vegetables or protein or fats to keep her at goal weight, you know, sounds like a reasonable choice. I think it can be a judgment call, and it can be very difficult. You know, she could go to a doctor and get a medical maintenance food plan, and her doctor saying, this is what I need you to do. And that might be helpful to have a third-party opinion. So it's not just the sponsor directive in the Forever Abstinent book if food is a trigger. So, again, reminding my sponsor continues to remind me it's about the food until it's not about the food. And as you mentioned, there are other issues. When it comes to releasing a sponsee, I think that's a very, very personal opinion. You know, the guidelines do say if a sponsee doesn't call after 3 days, a continuous, then you have freedom to do that. In regards to slips, I think it's a personal decision. And just, I think, not putting a judgment on it and recognizing this person is slipping and I may not be the right person. And it's not a good or bad for your sponsee or for you. And I think sometimes it's healthy to say no and let go and see what happens. And the person may come back into your life. They may not. But I think discussion with your sponsor and prayer and meditation, I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. And I know some people drop their sponsees like a rock immediately. Others may have a 5-year tumultuous relationship. You know, it's, you know, to each his or her own, I think, is my, for me, I haven't really, I don't think I've ever let go of a sponsee. They tend to let go of me based on their own situation. There's been times I've been tempted when my sponsee calls late continually, or she, you know, I can come up with all these personality reasons why, I wish I was working with somebody else. But what it does is it teaches me how to work my program. And my sponsor reminds me sponsoring is for me and for my program. I'm not doing really anything for the other person's program other than showing up and listening and, you know, providing guidance. So it's definitely a personal decision, in my opinion. Thank you.
And if I can just add, I'm Roberta, compulsive eater. How I handle it is I don't view the goal as either for a sponsee that isn't on maintenance or is on maintenance. My goal as a sponsor is not to get them abstinent or to keep them abstinent. My goal is to pass along what I've been given. And whether or not they are abstinent, whether or not they stay on maintenance, my job is to pass along and let God do what he wants to do. What I find is, especially it's hard for people to know, how do I keep going on even when I failed? How do I keep going on? And the answer is one day at a time. One day at a time, you work the program. Yes, I accept everything you've said. I accept all the errors that you made. And as your sponsor, I take them, I give them to God. And in return, I give you love and mercy and grace and a clean sheet of paper. Let's start out again together. And so it's a journey. It's more about the journey than the destination. So I don't view that my successes are they maintaining or so eventually it will happen because the steps and the tools and the traditions will work in all of our lives. So for me, I just say, my job, give away what I've been given. So any other quick question anybody had on maintenance? Burning questions, okay? So we'll go to the next section, and with that, we will have Suzanne speak on her topic.
Hi, Suzanne, compulsive eater. I'm really very grateful today, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity and for Roberta being in my life and a lot of people in my life also that I see out in the room or that I have just met or haven't met. And for me, it has been a lot about my body image growing up. I grew up in a raging household with two parents that now that I'm in program, I know really loved me and wanted the best for me, but they were both, you know, in the 200-pound range. And kind of followed in their footsteps. And even though they were loving, my dad didn't show a lot of love to me. And my mom loved me by telling me to wear black, brown, and blue, because that's what I thought she said is what fat people wear. And not blue jeans, but unless they're black, brown, and blue jeans, you know. So I grew up with kind of a very body image, like I'm sure a lot of people have. My dad was a catering truck driver, so the truck was always in the garage, and I was able to take whatever I wanted, and I did. And he never found out. And I've never been able to lie my whole life, because I just don't do it well. But in the realm of food, it didn't work for me, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, because it brought me into the rooms because of my my overindulgence in food. When I first started in the program, I went to my second meeting and I said, I'm Suzanne, I'm a compulsive eater, and I don't like that word. You know, because I didn't really even know what it meant, you know. And then I wanted to share, and they said, well, you know something, come back next week, you know, when you have the 7 days. And I didn't really realize why, but I found that out pretty quick. And today I am really feeling like I am really living the magic in my life, but when I did lose the weight, and the goal was to lose the weight, and you know, I lost almost 100 pounds, and it was really wonderful, you know, on the journey going down and all the praise and everything. But then once I got to my maintenance weight, you know, my sponsor said to me, well, you know, now you have to do the work. You know, now is when you have to do the work. And I was thinking, well, what have I been doing all this time, you know? And it's really been true because what I do, you know, in the morning for myself is I always make myself a real substantial breakfast, and I'm sure you've seen me eat it out there, because that starts my day. When I was growing up, I never ate breakfast, you know, because I thought that was the way that I was going to keep my weight down, or I would go into, compulsively running and then get a sciatica problem, you know. And So nothing ever really worked for me except for coming here. And I remember when I don't know, I was just a few months into program or something, and someone asked me to lead a meeting somewhere in an unfamiliar area. And I was thinking, oh my goodness. And there happened to be somebody there that we all know in this program that I really looked up to. That I was really afraid because I hadn't spoken before, and this person was going to be there. And I went and I spoke, and afterwards this person came up to me and said, well, you're really living the promises, you know. And I said, wow, what does that mean, you know. But I'll never forget it. And so, you know, I was going to talk a little bit on the steps, but I think the promises for me are the most fulfilling thing that I've had since I've lost the weight and been on maintenance. You know, I still have my body image things. I have the wings, whatever they call them. You know, I don't like them. You know, I'm not willing to do anything about it, you know, medically. But it's just a part of me. You know, I never was really anything except for a little flabby here or there, but now it's a little bit more, you know.
5 minutes.
Okay. And so, it hasn't really been an easy road for me, really, to tell you the truth. The coming down was a lot easier because I was losing the weight, and then I had that goal and that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and then all of a sudden the rainbow came, and now what? You know, now what am I going to do? So I was reading the promises last night at like about 2 in the morning because, you know, I was scared to get up here, and, you know, I've never been on a panel before. And I was reading them, and then I started counting them, and it was really interesting because there's actually, unless I'm wrong, there's 12 promises, like the 12 steps, you know. And then I was thinking, well, of course, you know, I have to judge myself because that's what I do, so I was going to see how many of the promises really I felt came true for me. And so I went down the list, and actually there was 6 of the 12 that I felt were really, you know, the truth for me. So the first one, you know, is a maze before we were halfway through. And, you know, something I really do believe that I really, that promise came to me, because a lot of things that I do now in my life, I don't know how I got there. My dad, who I really thought didn't love me, he's going to be 93 in August, and I love him dearly, and I feel like he loves me every single day, and I'm able to be, you know, at service for him and know that when he turned that cheek when I went to kiss him, that it wasn't because he didn't love me, but it was probably because that's what happened to him. And you know, so I'm really not into judgment too much with people anymore. So the next one is, I know a new freedom and a new happiness. And, you know, I can't say that I'm happy all the time, because I'm not, you know, but for the most part, especially when I'm with my fellows in this program, I am happy, joyous, and free. And I am working to get back to doing that on a daily basis in my life. Not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Well, you know, when I first came into the program, my mom, she died at 76. She was in a wheelchair 7.5 years with my dad with the replaced knees pushing her around, and I thought I was going to die, and just like her. And so, you know, I decided one time just to go ahead and eat the food and just not, you know, have fun with it. Well, I really did feel like I was going to die, and that's when I was willing enough to come into this program. So I really don't regret my past because it got me here. And so that one, comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. I can't say I'm like totally there. I definitely am not, but I do try to do meditation and such like that. See how our experience helps others. Well, I have to tell you, when I first came in the program, my both of my sponsors, I've only had two, and then now I just had a change. They both got me into service like really quickly, and then when I wanted to be in that fashion show after the first year, and I really thought it was for me. And when I got up on that podium and I looked out at everyone and I strutted my stuff or whatever, you know, I knew at that point that this was not for me. It was for the people in the room and for me, of course.
1 minute.
Yeah, but this was something that I had to do. I had to give away, and I had to do, and I don't know if I'm going to do it for the rest of my life. I'm doing it one day at a time. I'm doing the best I can. I struggle at times. The weight goes up, the weight goes down, the scale drives me crazy. I really wish I could throw it out the window, to tell you the truth. But it works, because when we work it, it works. And when we have the love of everyone in the room to help us, which I never had when I was growing up, it works for me, and it works, looks like, for other people. And really, it's not about the weight, how long you've been in, how, if you're on maintenance, if you're not, you know, it just means, what am I doing today for myself and for other people? And you know something, when you just do it one day at a time, you're at maintenance. I mean, it will happen, you know. So please help to stay here, because I need you, and I am so thankful for and in gratitude for this program. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Suzanne. So now, after the last speaker, we're open for any other questions that you have or comments about maintenance, fears, thoughts, anything you guys want to ask or share. Please, yeah, come up and sign.
Nathaniel, compulsive
overeater. Hi,
Nathaniel.
Gosh, this is a great topic, you know, but I can't help but think of the 11th step, really, and how important that's been for me in terms of maintaining. I don't even think about my weight. You know, it didn't dawn on me until we started talking about this. I used to think about it a lot. You know, how do I look? What do I weigh on the scale, off the scale, whatever? And it's just not a, sort of like a non-issue. And I appreciate you mentioning that analogy of swimming, you know, and how I first came into the program, and it was like swimming, you know, working really hard, and my sponsor really helped me. It's sort of like it's 99% you and 1% God when I first came to the program, because I had a lot of fear. That's the only thing I could do was swim. And then eventually, today, it's almost like it's 99% God and 1% me. And so I'd like to take that analogy a little bit further, where it's not just doing some type of stroke, but actually just laying back, you know, and realizing the water can carry me. And that's sort of where I'm at with the 11th step. So I'd like to see us focus more on meditation here in terms of the power that that step has. And I also believe that somebody with 1 day of abstinence can immediately start working on maintenance in terms of the spiritual part of it. You know, to me, that's just a great grace to maintain serenity. I think is where it's all at. And so you read, I think, the second half of page 164 in the big book on the Call of Vision for You. The first half starts off, let us ask God in our morning meditation, which you can do each day for the man who is still sick. Morning meditation, right? The answers will come if our own house is in order, but obviously we cannot transmit something we haven't got. See to what you can do for him, et cetera, et cetera. So to me, it's just all in that 11th step. I really believe that. And I still have work to do, you know, in terms of my work and my program, especially after you read the literature. It kind of reminded me I do have some work to do. I want to give that impression. But man, I just think there's just that 11th step to me is it. And everything else to me, as far as I'm concerned, flows from that. So thank you.
I'm Janann from Oklahoma. One of the things that I was so fearful of when I got on maintenance was that doggone bathroom scale. And I had worked my program, weighing is praying, with my food, but somehow I forgot that Wayne is praying with my body. And I finally got that through the help of a fellow in program. I was just so afraid to get on there every Saturday. And so I began to pray, okay, God, I'm offering myself to you right now. And I put a sticker on my scale. I have a sticker on my food scale that says Wayne is praying. And I now have a sticker on my bathroom scale that says a safe haven by God's grace. And so as I step on there, I realize God's in charge of this. And this scale can be a big liar. It can say that I am not in my program when I am, and I know I am. And my body does not stay. I envy these people that say, I've been the same weight for 3 years. It doesn't happen in my case. And things have gone on with my body. I had a bad accident, changed things. I was very inactive. I just, you know, I had challenges. And we all will eventually in maintenance have challenges. So a safe haven by God's grace is how I look at that scale that I step on every Saturday and turn it over to God. And I may have to cut back my food that week. So far, I've been willing to do that also by God's grace. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. Would anyone else like to share or ask a question of the panelists?
Hi, everybody. I'm Gina, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive eater. Terrified of this microphone and being in front of people, so I'm trying to practice that. Oh, and just coming out of the isolation, you know, I came into recovery, food recovery, 8.5 years ago from a sister program, and I've been in CHOW come September 10th, 3 years. I came for the emotional sobriety of this program, and I've been at a maintenance weight. So for 8 years, I've been around the same weight. My weight loss is not remarkable. It's been about 35 pounds. I came in with a very different life perspective. So even though the weight didn't really show up on my body, I came in with just this desperation just around coping and handling life from day to day. And I just felt like I was a little leaf blowing in the wind, reacting to everything going on. So in reaching my weight quickly, I had to really hunker down and kind of dig in to see what the issues were that were causing me to eat and want to eat. Because after I reached the weight, I still wanted more. My perception was that I was going to get into a program, help me, and then solve all my problems so my problems wouldn't bug me anymore, I wouldn't have any more. And that just didn't happen. If anything, I feel like the abstinence has helped me cope, but what has kept me coming back in maintenance has really been the 12 steps and having kind of a guide for daily living, because I go through things in my relationships, in my job, personally. You know, the brain always says, well, maybe the food will help, you know? And so the most spiritual thing that I can do every day is to weigh and measure my food, because I'm turning it over, and I can't do it alone. I grew up feeling like I really needed to be self-sufficient in the house that I grew up in. And when I got into 12-step recovery, I was asked to not rely on myself. So that was really confusing at first. But I keep coming back because I want the sanity. You know, and sanity for me is being willing to tell the truth. And I'd had my butt kicked for so many years with the food. I thought it was a metabolism problem. You know, I really couldn't identify the problem, but I just kept coming to the meetings. Live meetings have been really, really integral to my recovery. Since I've come and see how, I've been on phone bridge. But one of the reasons I'm here is I need to look in people's eyes. I need to be seen. And, you know, I'm just so grateful to have fellowship. But I just never want to go back into that insanity, because the mental obsession piece, even though it really didn't show up a lot on my body, the way I felt about myself, the self-hatred, the self-loathing. You know, I really had stopped living in the world. And I just feel that if I'm going to fulfill any kind of dharma or destiny, or if there's any reason that I'm really here, my best shot at it is to be abstinent so that I can be present for the people around me. And so that's why I keep coming back, is that I really need the connection and the love, and to remember it's such a relief I'm not alone. You know, I just thought I was alone for so long. Thanks for letting me share. Anyone else want to share or leave a question for the panelists? And let me ask you guys anything you wanted that you've heard that you want to share on or mention, or if not, then I want to thank you for coming. Let me just close with again, the closing thoughts were, in closing, we hope this workshop has helped give you some ideas to enhance your own recovery and see how. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us or ask your own maintenance sponsor. We are all sponsored according to the same guidelines, so hopefully we have a similar answer. So, and would you please join me in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And thank you again to our wonderful panelists. Thanks, you guys. Thank you. Woo-hoo.